In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. This is the Essential Bible Studies podcast. My name is Tim Young.
My name is Jay Mayock.
I'd like to welcome you back, Jay.
Thanks, Tim.
It's great to have you back for another season here. And I think we're doing one of your favorite subjects, because in the past, I've had you on to talk about the inspiration of Scripture, which is the Spirit of God moving holy men of old to speak forth His words. We've talked about also the discerning of spirits.
Oh, that's right.
So
that was a good one.
You are my spirit guy. You're a very spirited person, maybe.
I hope I'm a spirited person, especially in the biblical sense of the word, right?
But
it feels like it's probably the biggest subject in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so varied. I feel this way, like, even though I've been studying the Bible for so long, I keep coming at this subject, the Spirit of God, and I just feel like I'm swimming in the ocean. And it's so vast, this subject of the Spirit of God, in so many different areas. We're going to try to tackle that in a series of podcasts. So we're going to start here with just talking about the Spirit of God in general, some of the basics about it, and how the Spirit of God is analogous to His power, but with an emphasis on His morality, or His moral power, or a power with a moral emphasis. And then the Spirit relates to His presence as well. So we're going to delve into some of these scriptures to kind of wrap our head around this. So where would be a good place to start, Jay?
Oh, I think right where we did begin, right in Genesis chapter 1.
The first place it's mentioned.
It's the very first place, Second verse of the Bible, it's right there in Genesis chapter 1. So when we have a look back there, it's really interesting and it's helpful. I know that you do these podcasts in the ESV, and if we didn't do the podcast in the ESV, we'd probably appeal to it in this particular case, right?
You like the translation in this case.
Oh, it's really good. A number of translations pick it up here in Genesis chapter 1. At verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Hmm.
So in the King James Version, it will say moved, that's kind of let's be honest, it's a really plain vanilla word in the English language, right?
Yeah.
But in Hebrew, this particular word is very, very uncommon. And we'll take a look at that a little bit later. But this is really where everything begins. It begins here with what we would call God's power, His presence. And it's a tricky word to kind of define. We were talking about this a little while ago. You know, you look up a lexicon and it gives you like a list of all the definitions of what the word
Spirit. There's like 17 different definitions.
17 definitions.
The way it's used in Scripture. That's what makes it kind of hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah, it can be, and especially when we're talking about an aspect of God here. But, you know, different ways that it's translated, we've got the Hebrew word, by the way, is ruach. That's the Hebrew word.
Right.
And in Greek, it's pneuma. Does that remind you of anything when you think of the word pneuma?
I think of pneumatics.
I know.
And you ever heard that word before?
I think we've talked about it, pneumatic tools or
has things to do with air pressure. Yeah,
that's exactly.
So we've incorporated that Greek word into some of our English.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Doesn't really happen with Hebrew very often, with Greek it certainly does. But that's the raw meaning behind both ruach and pneuma. It has to do with like a blast of air. If we wanted to boil it down to a definition, that would be encompassing of all the other definitions that would come out of that. That's what the lexicons really would tell you. And even just a little bit of thought trying to condense everything down. And from that, you get that same word for spirit, the word right here that we're reading in Genesis chapter 1 at verse 2, the Spirit of God, the ruach of God. That same word is translated wind in other places, or breath, or life. And it also describes mind and attitudes as well.
Yeah.
Like there's so many different definitions that come out of that, but really the root is the idea of like a current of air.
Right. This is the way I wrap my head around all of those definitions that you had, because I think it starts with this idea of wind. sort of movement of air, which is invisible. You don't see it. But then that kind of relates to breath as well, because out of our mouths, we breathe in and out. So we have this movement of air coming out of our mouths.
Right.
But that air is coming out in two different ways. One, it just has to do with our breath. It's going into our lungs.
Yep.
So it has to do with our life.
Yes.
If we didn't breathe, we would die very quickly. But it also has to do with speaking and words.
So yes.
It has this association with words, and we can see that here from the very beginning in Genesis. God commanded, or God said,
yeah,
let there be, and there was.
Right.
And so we see that Spirit of God is his word going forth out of his mouth. But the connection there goes back even farther, because our words are generated from our mind.
Yeah.
So the words come from our mind, and that's where it gets associated with the thoughts. But not just the thoughts as understandings, but as our attitudes.
Yes.
In that way. Is that how you would kind of say it?
Absolutely.
Or our personality? Yeah. Or
personality, all like, of that. Identity.
Identity.
Yeah.
We kind of have a similar thing in English, right? When we say the word spirit, we could say that person's really spirited, or
yes,
that, you know, we know they're mean-spirited, or
yep,
you know, all sorts of different types of spirits. And you get the same thing in Scripture.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So God has a mind. He's speaking forth that mind, and we see that it has power behind it.
Yes.
Words have power.
Yeah. Especially
when
his.
You think about it, especially right. God's, you know, our words can either hurt or heal.
That's right.
And in terms of God's words, yeah, they are extremely powerful to the point where he says stuff and it's just done.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly right. And there's the Scripture is full. That's the wonderful thing about when we slowly take the time to look through Scripture and we're sensitive to the way that God speaks about his Spirit and his creative power, because all those things that you described, the attributes of the Spirit and the connections with them, come up in different parts of Scripture. Like, you're not just being philosophical about this in any way.
No.
I mean, we are, although we can be thoughtful about those things and draw connections to our lives, but the Bible's very, very clear about who God is and what his Spirit is.
Can I give you a good example of a Scripture where it mixes these ideas? And
yes,
you wouldn't know it if you didn't get your concordance out, but I think this example is really interesting. It's in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 8. And Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, who is a ruler of the Pharisees. He's a teacher of Israel. They're talking about being born again. And in the middle of that, I just wanted to bring out this verse 8 here, because this is what we're talking about here. Jesus says to him, he says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, the thing is that it says the wind blows where it wishes. That word wind is the Greek word pneuma. And then at the end of the verse, he says, "So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." And that word spirit is the same Greek word,
yep,
pneuma. So yeah, in one verse,
incredible.
It's translated as wind, and in the same verse, it's translated differently as spirit.
Right.
But that's, I think, Jesus is drawing on this whole concept of what the Spirit is to bring forth a point. It's like the wind, he says. You hear its sound.
Yeah.
You can see it moving the leaves and the trees. You can see the effects of it, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it goes. You can't see it. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit, that's how it acts. It's the power of God that is invisible to us, even though we see its effects. We can look all around us in creation and see the power of God, the Spirit of God that was at work in creation.
Yeah, an invisible God with an invisible Spirit like the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great passage that really spells it out. And again, as you say, you wouldn't know that unless you were either using another translation or were curious enough to look up that word wind. But
yeah,
you'd find it.
I think all translations have wind there, because that's literally what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, that's wonderful. That's a great passage. There's a wonderful one in the Psalms too, speaking about the Spirit of God. It might seem like, you know, we're going from Genesis to John to Psalms, but we're
hopping around.
We're hopping around, but we're hopping around a very specific theme, and that theme is about creation, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about being born of the Spirit.
Yes, yeah.
It's John chapter
3.
Being
born is like this creation theme, right?
And so we
That's
see
what the Spirit does, I guess. It's the Spirit creates.
Yeah, yeah. And not just simply in a in the sense of power. There's more behind that. But if we look at Psalm 33 at verse 6, we have something else here that's describing how it was that God created. We read in Genesis 1 about how the Spirit was there. It was hovering over the waters before the creation. And by the word of the Lord, verse 6, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. So the host of heaven, the stars and the planets and everything, right?
Yes.
Sun and the moon. But there it is, that expression there, the breath of his mouth. It's ruach.
The breath is ruach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right there in Psalm 33. So that's the connection there as well, is not just to make the connection with Spirit, but it's to connect something else, which is we've got his word there, just like you were saying at the beginning. There was a mind and a purpose behind that, and God used that to bring about the creation of the world.
Yeah, so and that's analogous there to his word, the word of the Lord. I was just reading the context there. In verse 9, it says, for he spoke and it came to be. He
yep.
commanded and it stood firm. So, yeah, it's really interesting, all of these different verses that talk about creation, and see how they talk about it in different ways, but the same way.
Yes.
It's all the same parallelisms and similar words, and they help us to fill out our understanding of what it means by the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Right.
Another one is in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12. Jeremiah throws up this challenge to these false gods, saying they can't create anything. But here we have a God who has created all things. And Jeremiah says in verse 12, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. So it doesn't mention spirit here
Yep.
in this passage. It doesn't mention word, but it mentions power.
Right.
It mentions wisdom. It mentions understanding.
Yeah.
And so I think we can draw all three of those together to understand that the Spirit of God is the power of God.
Yep.
And it is his word, his commandments, which have a power in them, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes out very, very clearly there. And when we just look around at creation, we can see the evidence of the wisdom of God. Like there is an intelligence behind all of that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt with the complexity of nature and the order that we see around us. It's absolutely amazing. And there's wisdom there. There's an intelligence there. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because when we're thinking about this idea of creation and the Spirit, and we're kind of building on this idea of what it means to have the Spirit there closely identified, this power of God ready to bring forth all things. I mentioned at the very beginning that word moved or hovered is a very special word, right?
Yeah.
And just to see exactly maybe more about the idea that's contained there and maybe not explained yet in Genesis, we can have a look at where this Hebrew word for hovered is used later on in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 32. You know, it's really interesting about Deuteronomy 32. It's a prophetic chapter about what would happen to the children of Israel. It gives a little bit of a history about what had happened to them and what was going to happen to them in the future. So really, you could say that Deuteronomy 32 is about the creation of the nation of Israel.
Hmm.
They were just created 40 years before this point. They're getting ready to enter into the land of promise. But as a nation, they are actually called God's firstborn son.
Right.
In the book of Exodus. And here they are, and God is actually speaking about when it was that they were born in the country of Egypt in slavery. So if we look down at verse 10, it says that he found him. So this is God finding his people in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him and cared for him and kept him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, stretching out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. The word there, just to be very clear, did you spot it there?
flutters.
That's the word. That's the word hovered.
That's the same word used in Genesis 1 verse 2.
I think that's the word. It's rakaf.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the idea of like this picture of this bird, like kind of fluttering over its young and then getting ready to lead it out of the nest and teach them how to fly as well upon the wind. Yeah.
Protecting them, but also teaching them.
Yeah, that's the whole idea here behind that particular word.
It's beautiful.
So what else can we add here? You know, we've talked about how with the Spirit of God, there's the Word, which is God's intelligence, and it's His wisdom, and it's His purpose. But there's also loving care illustrated here. All of that is back in Genesis chapter 1 at creation.
Yeah.
That's the purpose originally that God wants to bring about, not just with the natural world, but with those who would become new creations as well. It's just an absolutely beautiful picture that we have here.
That's interesting. So that's why it uses the word hovering there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. It reminds me that when Jesus came, there's a similar aspect. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, when the angel comes to Mary and says that she is going to have a child and she hasn't known a man, God says this is how it's going to happen. And when we talk about this fluttering, this hovering over, I wonder if it's here too, because that would be very fitting, because here is the creation of the Son of God. This is a new beginning.
Yeah.
This is the spiritual beginning of all of our whole lives, of the spiritual creation of God, right?
Oh, Jesus is called the firstborn of all creation.
Right.
Yep.
So listen to this. It's really interesting. I'll start at Luke chapter 1, verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Well, this is a special creation where God intervenes, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's the act of the Holy Spirit to bring about this conception. But there's a parallelism here, right? He just doesn't say the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He says, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So again, it fits in with our meaning that the Spirit is the power of God.
Yes, exactly.
See really, the parallelisms here.
Really important to see that, yep.
But it's creating an echo back to Genesis 1 verse 2 with this, the power of the highest shall overshadow.
It's the overshadowing. It's that word. It gives you the same picture as it does back in Deuteronomy 32.
Yeah.
With the fluttering over and the Spirit of God hovering over the waters at the very beginning. It's the same. It creates that same mental picture in your mind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good one for sure. Now, if you wanted to, you could even, in Luke chapter 3, just a couple pages over, can you see the ideas of creation here in Luke chapter 3? Because, this is a fun one, it says in, this of course is the record, Luke's record of Jesus being baptized. It says in verse 21, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" See any creation stuff in there?
Well, there's a dove, like a bird again.
There's isn't that fantastic? That's one. Really, can you see any other ones there?
Well, the Holy Spirit descending.
Yeah, so you got the Holy Spirit coming down as the dove, definitely.
Yeah.
What do you think about the water, Tim?
It's baptism.
Baptism. It's fantastic. Jay, isn't that great? Like, you've got them. And it's almost as if it reminds me of what we read in Genesis chapter 1. And, you know, when the land appears and you have coming up out of the water, it would appear that you have the land coming.
Yeah.
And this is Jesus coming up out of the water. It's just seems very reminiscent of what we read. And then you have, you are my beloved son. So even though he's already been created 30 or so years before, is this not the beginning of his ministry right here?
It is, yeah. This is very significant.
Yeah. Right. So, so many creative themes and ideas here that are totally consistent with the way that God has revealed his spirit in other places in the Bible.
Right. So I get the sense, though, that scripture is drawing this bird parallel, is using this here like a dove. It's not a dove. You get the idea of the fluttering of the wings and the caring and all those. It's not that we're supposed to think of the Holy Spirit as a bird.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. It's a helpful kind of tool to teach us about what the Holy Spirit is all about.
Yep.
So I got a question for you. Because when we talk about the Holy Spirit of God, we talk about God. I don't know how you think about it, but it says that God dwells in heaven, right?
Right.
And there's plenty of passages you can bring up, passage after passage, saying God dwells in heaven. Yeah. And what I'm thinking about specifically, it's really good. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. And I'll just bring that up and read it.
All right.
Where Paul says, who alone, he's talking about God here, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. So he dwells, he has a dwelling place, and he says it's in unapproachable light. Like no man could come before the presence of God, the very presence of God, and live. So God has a centrality about him. He has a being aspect to him. Yet, I'll bring up another passage here. I'm trying to square this away. It's in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24. This is Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm going to read at verse 23. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? So God is saying, I'm so big that I fill heaven and earth. Like I'm everywhere. You can't escape from me seeing you. I'm not far away, he says. Aren't those passages kind of contradictory?
Yeah.
One where Paul says you can't approach him.
Right.
You can't be in his presence in that way. And then this other verse here, it says, well, I'm everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't escape me.
I think the key is in just exactly how you described it, which is that God has, you said he has a centrality about him. He is a being who dwells in heaven. So how is it that he can be, as he's described in Jeremiah chapter 23 and many other places? And I think to go back to a psalm again for this gives us the answer really, really well. It's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 139. And very clearly here, the psalmist comes right out and is able to give us the answer to that question. He dissolves all the tension that we could have between those two passages, and it's totally in keeping with what you just said. If we look at verse 7, he says, where shall I go from your spirit? That's rhetorical. He's going to answer. You can't go anywhere.
Right.
You can't go anywhere to get away from your spirit. Or where shall I flee from your presence? So there is a way in which the presence of God is here with all of us, but it's through his spirit, which fills everything. That's the aspect of him fills heaven and earth, right? And so he says in verse 8, he's like, look, if I did these things, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, in Sheol, in the grave, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light. with you. That's a... It's so nice how it's translated that too. It's a beautiful to read. But that's how it is with God. It's by his spirit, by his power that he's able to keep everything going in heaven and earth, to fill heaven and earth. And yet that's like an extension of his person. But yeah. He's still as an individual, as a unity, as a being in heaven where no man can approach to that presence.
Yeah.
And you just can't. Nobody's done that. Well, nobody except one. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Because
the Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could be forgiven in reading verse 8 and say, if I ascend into heaven, and you think many other people have ascended to heaven, but they haven't, because we look at the New Testament. I know you've talked about this in other podcasts, yeah. Right? Not even David himself, it says. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one to have ever done that. So that's the answer right there. Right. Psalm 139.
That makes sense to me then, that God dwells in heaven, but he's everywhere present. He's omnipresent.
Right.
By his spirit, which pervades all of creation, that is everywhere, his power, yep. His knowledge of all things, right?
Yeah, right.
So I love this psalm too. And I think that section you were reading there is talking about how he is present everywhere. So his presence then is analogous to his spirit. But he's also omniscient, meaning that he knows everything. And the psalmist talks about that too. In the very first part of the psalm, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I feel for him there in verse 6.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the natural. You cannot have any other impression about the Spirit of God when you come to this subject.
Yeah.
And to understand the omniscience of God in that dramatic of a way.
Yeah.
He knows what we're going to say before we say it. Yeah. Huh? That's overwhelming. Yeah.
It is overwhelming. This psalm really, you just need to read it over and over again and make it a part of your thinking, because This is the important thing about the Spirit of God when we think about it, is that God is everywhere. We can't escape it. The psalmist is saying here, we're in the same area. We're in the same realm. God is everywhere. He knows everything about us. And if we have that in our mind, if we're practicing the presence of God, it's going to change our thinking. We're not going to be so prone to sin or to think that we can get away with something.
Right.
Like, how crazy is that kind of thought, you know?
Yeah.
But sin is often just forgetting that, isn't that? Mm-hmm. We forget that God sees everything.
And
we have to, when we come to our senses again, we can pray to him and ask for forgiveness. But this is a real practical import
It is.
Of the subject, isn't it?
Very practical.
So I think if we just wrap this up, we can see the Spirit of God that we saw in creation hovering over the face of the waters is the power of God, his spoken word, which has this power that he commands and it comes to pass. We saw that in several scriptures, but we see it also in the creation of the Son of God. And We saw it a little bit there in John 3, verse 8, when it comes to us as well, being born of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We'll be getting that in a later podcast.
That sounds like a good
one.
We'll
talk about the Spirit of God. And then this whole sense about it's through God's Spirit that he is everywhere present. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's where we want to wrap that one up. But we're going to be talking more about this subject for sure in some other podcasts. So stay tuned.
Sounds great.
Jay and I hope this study has been as much of a blessing for you as it has been for us. In our next episode, we continue our studies in the Spirit by considering the Spirit as related to man, you and I. What is the Spirit that is inside us, and how does it relate to the Spirit of God? I'm so happy to have Tom Colby back on the show to help us delve into this topic. I hope you can join us. Don't want to miss it? Make sure to subscribe on your podcast app, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or X. And while you're there, give the podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends. As always, you can go to our website at www.essentialbiblestudies.org to listen to past episodes, use the contact form to send us a question, request one of our free media kits, or get the link to our online Bible study group. The Essential Bible Studies podcast is sponsored by the Book Road Christadelphian Ecclesia, located in the beautiful countryside of Ancaster, Ontario, Canada. Until we meet again, dear friends, I pray to God that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity.